Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
You know what that reminded me of?
What?
Queen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can accept that.
Do you watch that movie, Bohemian Rhapsody? It was kind of their story.
Do you even know me?
Yeah, I know you. But we did watch Black Panther together.
We did, because you all forced me to. Yes. Was that the time that somebody drew a quadrant?
Yes. Mark Satterfield.
Mark Satterfield drew a quadrant that basically said that I would be a bad name if I did not go with you guys to see a movie. And so I did. We were out in California doing a pipeline. All the coaches, our best and brightest, were there doing a Saddleback. Y'all convinced me to go see Black. And it was a great movie.
Yeah. Well, best and brightest minus Kevin Spratt.
Like I said, best and brightest.
No, man. We love you, Kevin.
Not he like he's listening. He doesn't
no.
listen to
this. No, he doesn't listen. All right. So today's question is all about staffing. So this, obviously, we're going to focus in a little bit more because Todd and I are talking. We were talking about multi-site typically. And when I'm on the air with Ed, we talk a little bit more on the church planting side. But whether you're launching a church plant or a campus, you need to often think about staffing ratios. How many full-time equivalents do you need? Do you need an assistant? And what's the best way to do that? So let's start with this. If you are staffing up a new campus in particular, and you are launching with a core team or a launch team of 50, and you're hoping to have 100, 150 at the launch day, how many staff should you start with? Let's start with that number first, and then we'll go up a little bit.
One.
Okay, one full-time.
For 50 people?
Well, 50-person launch team, and you're hoping for 100, 150 out on your launch day. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're getting those new people. Now, you're going to have to train and equip some of those people like they were pseudo-staff people in your core team.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. That's part of my answer, but... You know, if you look at the grand poobah of church staffing ratios that you hear quoted all the time, actually came from a book by Gary McIntosh, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, Staffing Your Church for Growth, I think. And it was, you know, that's where you hear the 150 rule or the 100 rule. Because he talked about, hey, if you're staffing your church to sustain it, you're staffing your church to grow it. I would also say that a lot has changed in 20 years, too. So one of the things that you mentioned was having an assistant. Well, you know, there are plenty of firms out there will help you find somebody that is part-time or hourly that can help versus a full-time staff person. So I would say... Also taking advantage of apps like Calendly and, hey, yep. I can send you a link. You can pick your time. I can block off when I don't want to meet with anyone, all of that. So there's things that I would say you can take real advantage of, especially at launch, because you don't really know what you're going to get yet.
Yep.
So do I want to, you know, children's is one of the first I would add unless – the demographics show of the area, so you should have already done your homework, but the demographics of the area show that there's not that many people with kids. Okay, great. Well, when I, you know, 90 days in, I see, the demographic said this, but man, we got a lot of kids. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
So those are the things that I would think about. How about you?
Yeah, and that's why if your launch team is 50 or 100 and whether you're launching your first, you're hoping for 100 or 200 or 300 people. Regardless of that, you need to have lay leaders. You need to have lay or staff leaders. You need to have people in positions who are leading the different areas of ministry for your church or your campus, right? So you need to have a lay leader who is over kids ministry. You need to have a lay leader who is over, Geiger would kill us right now by talking about lay leaders. You would have a, well, he doesn't listen to this podcast either.
He doesn't either.
So
Favok, you maybe.
Yeah. So lay leaders over guest services / first impressions, over kids ministry, another one over evangelism and outreach, another one over just, you know, groups. So you need to have these ministry areas where you have lay leaders, you have individuals, high capacity individuals who know how to not just lead others, but know how to lead leaders. You probably don't need to have someone who knows how to lead teams yet, because that takes a while for that competency to be built up. But the biggest thing that you need to have as you're launching, especially if you're launching with 50 in your launch team and hoping for 100, 150, you need to have individuals who know how to lead leaders, not just lead others. And then you need to actually be leading those leaders and form a team around you, a ministry team around you. And if all of them are volunteer, hey, that means your schedule is going to be different and you're not going to be able to work a 9-to-5. Right? You're going to have to be creative in terms of when you do those team meetings so that you have a healthy family rhythm and so that your kids love you and don't resent you for launching this campus, kids and spouse, launching this campus or this church. So that's what I'd say, you know, I'd making sure that those systems are in place. And as you continue to grow, let's say you have that launch team of 50 and you actually average out to maybe 150 to 200 people moving forward, then you see all of your lay leaders who are leading these ministry areas. And I guess what can you do? You can either choose to hire maybe a part-time position, 10-hour positions, 20-hour positions in some of these ministry areas, or you can go the associate campus pastor route. What are your thoughts on that?
I would say, man, especially in this day and age, you're tempted to hire specialists because that's what you've grown up with and that's what you're used to, mm-hmm. but you know, in different positions in churches, that's what the mega churches do. But I would say in this instance, I would probably lean toward that associate and yeah. just someone that is able to do a lot of different things. So mm-hmm. I helped start the first campus that my church did in 2005, I think it was, back in the day. And it was just me and one other person. And they were like, there's no way you're going to be able to do this. I mean, we just had the worship person, you know, do an extra, and we did it on a Monday night, which sounds really weird, but we had two services, and that campus is still going and still very, very vibrant today. Mm. But so we were able to do divisions of work, and it was just me, and it was a female so that she can handle female small groups. I handled the male small groups and the marriage ministry, but I was basically focused on external teams. She was focused on internal teams. So ushing, greeting, you know, all the stuff that happened on the day was her thing. And anything that happened outside of the church service or that day was handled by me. So we broke that down. We were really simple in what we offered. And that just allowed us, as we brought on people, to parse out some of those things. We didn't offer childcare at the time, mm-hmm. so that wasn't a thing.
Yeah, so when you think about that way to staff up, right, and the biggest thing that you need to have is chemistry with that person that you're launching the campus with and with that first staff member. I mean, they might be a rock star in a particular ministry area, but if they are so narrow and so focused in on that and that alone, hey, that's great for maybe a central services role, or maybe that's great for more of a specialist role as you get larger. But if you're thinking about a one other staff person. Who else could you hire to come on your team? Then you have to think equipping. You have to think, can this person, right? Can this person be a leader of teams? Can this person be a leader of others? And then you can begin dividing out those responsibilities. So you're really looking not for doers, you're looking for equippers. So
for
I'm completely on the associate campus pastor bandwagon, because you know, the one area that we forgot to mention was worship, right? You need to have a worship leader. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. And I think sometimes within launch large models, you think, okay, we need great preaching, we need great music, and how are you going to have great music? Well, we need to pay someone, we need to go for a big name and this. And maybe if you're doing that and you're trying to launch with a large staff, you're saying, hey, we're going to launch with 300 people first Sunday. Well, then you better have a massive core team, a massive launch team, and be planning and budgeting out and raising money so that you have a good stretch before you get to self-sustainability. But Todd, with all the stuff that we did with Ministry Grid and just the whole difference in becoming a lot more agile and sprint-based and building up rather than trying to launch as a cruise ship, unless you have $300,000-$500,000 backing you up from the get-go and you don't have to pay it back maybe in 5 or 6 years, which I don't know many denominations and networks who would do, then I'd say definitely build up rather than have 5 full-time paid staff and then try to launch.
Yeah, it is interesting that you mentioned Grid. So if you did a case study on that, you would see that we built it thinking we knew what everybody wanted and needed. And frankly, we interviewed 226 pastors, if I'm correct, of all different kinds of churches, denominations, sizes, all that. We asked them, hey, what do you need in a tool that trains and develops leaders? But the reality was we didn't get to the current iteration of it where people are really using it. I mean, there are thousands of churches on the thing now. And that's just been within the last couple of years because, you know, we finally got it right. How did we get it right? We started it minimum viable, and then the users of the platform, the people that were using it, actually told us what they needed by how they used it. So I would say don't go in assuming you know what everybody wants and needs or you know what that community wants and needs. Go in as lean as possible. You can always add things later on, and you'll be much better at resourcing the right things once you see the lay of the land, rather than guessing what they need. Now, you're going to have the fear of, I'm not going to have enough, or I don't have enough ministry compared to the church down the road, or, you know, the people here are used to Awanas. I got to take Awanas with me. No. You go in lean and then figure out what that community truly needs as it grows. Because once you add that staff person, even if they don't have a lot to do at first, they will necessitate their own existence. They will generate work. And that is not necessarily what you need.
Yes. Oh, man. That's so funny how we do that. So when you think about this new person, and hey, we're talking about the context of a multi-site church, right? So if you're hiring an associate campus pastor, maybe to start part-time, to help you launch this campus and maybe going up to full-time eventually, and you're doing this within a multi-site context, the beautiful thing is you have all of these specialists and all of these ministry experts who have a lot more experience than your associate might in a ton of these different ministry areas across the church and in other campuses. So within a multi-site context, you can actually hire an associate campus pastor that's a bit greener behind their ears, a little bit greener and not as experienced as you might need within a church plant context, because you have residential experts that person can lean on and ask and spend time with to know, okay, so kids ministry, I don't need to develop it completely from scratch. Because within a church plant context, you're thinking philosophy of ministry, you're thinking, does this actually align with our values? Is this the right curriculum to use? Is this not? Is this trustworthy? And you have to make all those decisions. But within a multi-site context, you're like, no, hey, the children's pastor, the global champion says this is the curriculum we're using. I know she already vetted this or he already vetted this. So this is what we're using. So by within the multi-site context, that's why we're so pro, obviously, church planning and multi-site, but we're very pro multi-site because you can have these. It's a lot easier to reproduce and multiply because those things are already worked out. So if you're looking for that next staff member, the first thing, the most important thing that I would look for is the ability to juggle multiple balls at the same time. Right? Multitasking, it's not even, I know some people would say multitasking, but when you think about the effectiveness of multitasking, it's not actually that effective. It's more effective just to get one thing done and then get to the next thing and batching that work. But what I'm talking about instead is this idea of, hey, I can actually run 5-6 projects at the same time. I'm not going to switch context from one to another within the same 10 minutes or the same hour, but I can be running and moving 6 projects at the same time down the field. And that's a competency that not everyone has. Not everyone has. The Berkman assessment is something that I've that our church has been using quite a bit recently, and that has a score. It has one way to measure that, which has been neat, and it's been helpful for us in hiring. But that would be the most important thing that I would look for, that and their ability to be, their emotional intelligence and ability to equip and develop leaders. And if you have someone who has those two things, right, and Lencioni, if they're humble, hungry, and smart, emotional intelligence, smart, if you have those two things, man, hire that person. Hire that person, even if they're 23 and they don't have a lot of experience, even if they're 59 and don't have any ministry experience and it's all corporate, hire that person because they're going to be your best asset.
Well, I totally agree with that. That's the best advice.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening into the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. Be sure to listen to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. And
every day,
the 5LQ podcast does not yet have new music, you need to tweet at Todd Adkins and at Chandler Vinoy. Is it Chandler Vinoy? Is that his handle?
I think so.
Well, find him. You need to tweet both of them and say, what's up with this new music?
We'll probably go something with a little tamer than what I presented earlier.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.